Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a North Korean comedian.
Wow. Well, you know what? Everything would be better.
Well, I don't know about everything, but we're better than that.
Yeah, probably a couple things that we were mentioning before the show would not be better.
Well, depends who you are. They might be good.
They could be.
I guess, well, you know, you might as well tell the audience what we were mentioning, then we'll get right into it. You know what? Let me do the intro.
All right.
And then you can tell the
audience. Then we can tell all the filthy stuff.
That, of course, is Pip Helix.
Hi.
Joe Curry's on his way.
Yes.
I, of course, am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. If you want to call in, number 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804, or you can go to the Den Pen, which is our chat room. Go to davinsden.com and click Listen and Chat Live, and you'll be in there, and Pip Helix will be moderating. All right, so tell the folks.
I'm barely keeping them in control in there as it is, so you might as well join us.
They're a bunch of animals.
I don't even remember how it started.
I never know. I just things. I said hush my mouth.
You said hush your mouth, and then all of a sudden it was like hush your mouth, shove a hush puppy in there, and then it was shove a cock in there. And how much could you really talk with something in there?
Well, I said that would hush my mouth momentarily. And you said depends on whose. I said no, I'm pretty sure anybody's. The shock. That's it. You got to send reverberations. My mouth is hushed.
Then we start speculating on what he would start to say as soon as he could speak. And Davin says, yum.
I don't think I said yum.
Didn't you?
I might have. But
I think you did.
Why would I say yum? What a terrible thing to say.
I know.
You're pulling the curtain on. Now they know.
Oh, well, now they know.
Aye.
And the Gay Maker strikes again.
Well, it wasn't much to make me gay. I've always been on the edge.
I don't know about that. That is a stunning necklace. By the way,
I'm not wearing a necklace.
And a gown.
Well, I am wearing a gown.
I am painting a picture for the viewers. The listeners.
The viewers, not anymore. Thank God.
Trucker Tom in the chat says, not the mental image picture I wanted while I was eating Italian sausages.
Well, I'm Jewish. It's kosher. Enjoy.
He did say he was eating dinner, so sorry about that.
All right, enjoy.
Is that good, Tom? Is that a good big sausage? Is that a juicy sausage you got there, Tom?
Right. Really?
I like to sexually harass the chat.
Yeah, they really appreciate your overtures.
They do. He's thanking God he's hundreds of miles away.
Well, maybe not. Who the hell is, you know what? I'm just like looking.
Caught looking.
No, I'm looking. Once again, I'm doing tech
while
trying to run a show. And I'm trying to figure out which stations are
down.
Yeah. And again, let's see. Hawk, once again.
Well, let's see. Let's go through the whole list and see who's on. You know, that's usually the easier way to go.
Let's see. Mac Daddy's all.
I'm just going to sit here while you're trying to figure out the tech and rub the hideous bump on my head.
What happened to your head?
You know, it's creepy. I have these little calcium deposits that grow on my head.
Ew, stop drinking milk.
No, it's just something like, you know, some people get moles or cysts or things. I get little calcium deposits on my head. I have
some. What the hell is that? You can never shave your head.
No, you know what? I couldn't because I've had them removed several times.
Ew, I've never seen you with a bald head.
No. What they do is they do you want to feel it?
No, I don't.
Give me your finger.
No.
Come on. The
last time you said that, it wound up in a warm, dark place. I will not.
Give me your finger.
No. No, I didn't lose a bet.
Rub my bump.
That should have been part of the Fat Horse Challenge.
No, well, I have this little thing on the back of my head now.
I got one in between my legs. I don't ask you to touch that.
Not on the air, but I have this thing, and it's a calcium deposit, and it's creepy because you can...
Yeah, it sure is.
And I have two tiny ones. They always grow in groups of three.
What?
Yeah, I've started getting...
This is not normal.
No, I know it's not.
You got fissures on your butt and calcium deposits on your head.
I got a fissure once.
Heads or tails, the person with you is losing. This is not a winning proposition.
Poor Mr. Helix.
Really, this
it's
is the...
It's sexy.
This is
house.
The worst coin ever.
Don't flip it. Don't flip it. Oh, no, don't flip it.
Flip it and bag it and throw it on the side of the road.
No, you know what they have to do?
I'm afraid we're going to learn.
Yes, you are. They have to, like, move your hair aside, and they shave a circle around the whole space, and then they numb it up with Novocaine shots, and then while you're sitting there awake, they dig it out of your head. And you can hear it. It's like...
Ew.
You know how you can hear...
How often have you had this? Not since I've known you.
No, I haven't. I haven't been back. I haven't had a bumper crop in a bunch of years.
How do you get that? I've never heard of this elephant woman.
It is. I am not an animal.
No, animals are cute and cuddly.
I'm a human being.
I am repulsed.
Every week.
I have seen a lot of terrible things during the course of this show.
Yes, and heard them.
Yes, and heard. This is just awful.
Tom says that, no, it should have been part of the Fat Horse Challenge.
That's what
Joe might have licked it.
That would have been awesome.
Lick my bum.
But you know what? You know what, Tom? Onions were too much for Joe. So
I know. So. I know. And
so a salt lick definitely would have been too much.
He almost looked mad while he was eating that onion. He was pissed off eating that onion.
He was bitchy.
No.
Like I changed the rules on him.
Well, he was just like, there was no time limit before, and he was mad eating that onion. That was a mad.
But you know what? People set records for eating hot dogs and ribs in a certain amount of time.
Do you ever watch that show, it's Wife Swap?
Not often.
I was watching, there were like two of them in a row, and I was caught like a train wreck, and I was watching them. They're always awful because they pick people who could not be more diametrically opposed, and they set them up in another house, and there's always arguments because they don't just pick people who have different philosophies, they pick kooks. You know, it's like, you know, like one of the families, one of their things they do is they're rodeo clowns, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like so when the wives get into the new house, they're like, okay, now's the rule change day. And I insist that you all get dressed up as rodeo clowns.
Yeah. That's kind of absurd. They did one with wrestlers. I just saw with Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper. I saw that.
Yeah. And it's really dumb. Like some of them are like they're Renaissance reenactors or they're, you know, there's something strange. I mean,
any of them have to lick calcium deposits?
You know what? No, not so far, but they're getting there.
Should do a wife swap with you.
I know. Oh, the chat is very excited about the bump on my head. They want to see a picture. We can't really see anything.
Can we shave a part of your head off?
No.
Why? For the show.
No, you can't really see anything.
What are you? It's underneath?
It's under my hair, and it's
no.
Under
I mean, shave
skin.
Your head.
No, you're not shaving my head. No, between the chicken pox and all these things I've had removed, it's got to be a lunar landscape up
God
there.
Damn, you're a hot mess.
I know, but he said hot. The wife swap show, mm-hmm. The one of the families, the guy is one of those eaters, that competitive eater,
sure.
That eats like tons and tons, and the people that they have come there are physical trainers.
Oh.
So you could just picture the explosions going on. And the guy is enormously obese. It's just...
Really? Because most of those guys are usually in good shape, actually.
You know, you see these little tiny...
Like Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut.
I was just going to say, yeah, the reigning champ over at...
I think if you're a competitive eater, yeah. You're probably also a competitive crapper.
You're probably a competitive barfer.
I don't think they're barfing.
You don't think that they're
barfing?
No,
I think that they read a lot. I'm going to say it. It'd be nice.
You think they're in the library often?
I think they're in the library often.
Often. Tom says, what's with this wee crap? I don't want to see that shit. Talking about the bump of my head. But Morgaine is all excited about shaving my head. No. And no.
I'm for it. But anyway.
I was fascinated by the fact that this guy was trying to defend his choice of being a competitive eater, and no, we're not going to go and get, I'm not putting away my championship trophies for eating so much that I have become 600 pounds.
Well, yeah, but it's a way to justify your weight gain.
I guess it is.
I competitively eat. Now, I only compete against myself.
And I win.
I win every time. As I go up in pant size, that's my trophy. A bigger waist, higher blood pressure, higher cholesterol. I'm a winner, baby.
New wardrobe. Yay, me.
I get to go shopping.
I love elastic.
It's very comfortable. The more spandex and sweatpants I own, I feel like I not only win, the people who see me win. That's how I feel.
Oh.
Wow, your lip just did like a weird quiver thing, like you were going to like go like have a seizure. Are you okay? I think your deposit moved.
It was all those hot dogs I had before I came up here.
That was freaking weird.
No. What was that? Oh, Tom suggests that if I shave my head, they can make it a Joe Curry look-alike contest. I don't think that Joe and I look that much alike. Maybe the heads, but then when you start moving down, no.
Yeah, Joe's got bigger breasts.
You know what? I was going to swap bras with him, but he said no.
Can you play keyboards?
No, I can't.
Joe's not here, by the way. Did I mention Joe's not here?
We did mention Joe's not here to defend himself.
He'll be
so
here
that's
soon.
Why we're...
He'll be here soon. Joe will be here soon. We got some good stuff coming up. We got we got comics performing in airplanes.
No.
We got a brand new Scambuster coming up.
Scambuster.
Targeting a very specific group of people. And I promise you, a new twist. A new twist in my ongoing soap opera
my
with
stories.
My girl. With your stories.
I love that. It must be a sweeps week.
Yes. Yes, we get swept away. That's what this is.
We have a good, a good thing. What is that? They're saying that... I'm trying to follow Morgan's thought process here.
Good luck with that.
She says, I was really wanting to see a pic of Joe's face while he was eating the onions. But then she says, then Tom said something about shaving my head. And Morgan says, and they do it in circles. That would look interesting. They do what in circles?
Like, shave your head.
Shave your head in circles? Like crop circles on my head?
The aliens have landed there. But they were Mexicans, as we established last week.
The aliens had already landed on my head. That was a long time ago. Explain so much.
Well, for Morgane's request, I promise you at some point the video will be online so you could see the onion defeat Joe Curry. I think we're either up to brine shrimp or wasabi part deux. Well, as far as the videos that we've posted online, I have more. I even have yours with the fish sauce and the dog food. I'll put that up there. I know there's videos to be put online, just a lot of things going on. I do have a protocol question for everybody, though.
Oh, okay.
This past week, the wife was sick.
Oh.
So she's coughing and everything.
Oh,
and we share a bed because it's not a 1950s sitcom.
Oh, you keep one foot on the floor, don't you?
Most certainly do. And there's no bathroom in the house either.
Those filthy, filthy toilets.
Exactly.
We're not competitive eaters, but go ahead.
So she's hacking up a lung at night, which is very disturbing and a little selfish. I mean, let's be honest. She's not the only one in the room.
Yeah, how dare you cough up that lung?
It's bad enough I got to sleep through the cats making mayhem. I get it. You're sick. We know.
No, that was the cat.
Yeah, exactly. So she decides to get up and sleep on the couch in the basement because these are reclining couches. They're
very comfy.
The chairs can actually recline.
I know.
Now, she said she did this because she said it helps her breathe better.
Yeah.
You know, so she wasn't laying back and everything, which is fine. My question, though.
Okay.
And I don't know, so I leave it to you to help me. If that was not the case, if she was up all night.
Right.
And it was clearly I was not sleeping and she did not offer to go to another room. Do I, as the healthy person, although the quiet one, make the offer to go downstairs, or does the sickie get kicked out because they're contaminating the room and waking up the whole house?
Well, here's how you think. I think you play it.
Okay.
First of all, you have to be the doting spouse.
I don't have to.
Well, you're asking how to play it.
Is that how you play it? You're doting?
Honey, is there anything I can get you?
How many days are you doting for until the doting wears thin? And it's back to calcium deposits.
Well, let's see. It's almost 3 years, and the smack into the head hasn't started yet. So I think that we have a little ways to go.
No, but I'm saying, like, how far into the sickness?
Oh.
Because, the first couple of days, it's cute, you care. After a while, it's like, we get it. Oh, you have a fever. Oh, you've never felt this rotten before. Wow. What about me?
Well, you don't have to, like, slobber over somebody and,
That's how they got sick.
Yes, and you don't want to do that. But I mean, you do want to see. Do they need something? Like, if the sick person would prefer to stay in bed, are there other pillows in the house or something? Like, those pillows that are just like a back and some arms. Like,
they
look like an armchair, but you put it in the back of the bed. Like, if you had one of those, can I get
you?
We're
talking about different things here. I'm all with being considerate while one's awake.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about sleep.
No, but I'm saying could you get that, and then the choice is they stay in bed, you make them comfy, and you get the hell out of there.
Uh-huh.
Because they're going to hack all night no matter what you do for them. First make them comfortable as possible, then you get out. If they refuse to leave the bed, you have to go.
Well, wait, you just said I should offer to leave.
If they're going to be more comfortable in bed. If she's going to be more comfortable sitting up in a recliner, because these are better when you're breathing.
I don't think most sickies would offer to leave.
Most of them, I don't want to say, because, I don't want to say what, whether they would or they wouldn't, but it's like people who have allergies or have breathing problems know if they sit up, it's better. So they're going to go to where they can sit up the best.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can do that bed propped up, they're going to stay and they're going to kick your ass out.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go down into the basement and there's where they can sit up, well, they're just going to leave because they need to breathe.
Right.
Like, you know, I've had that. You know, a couple times I got bronchitis, and it's like, no, our bed is not conducive to propping yourself up.
So if you were sick, would you, if everything was the same comfortable-wise,
yeah,
you're sick.
I'm out to the couch.
But out of consideration?
Well, a couple things. It's going to make me feel better.
So it's about you.
My couch is my safe spot when I feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
The TV's there. The bathroom's closer. Well, actually, the bathroom's closer in the room, too, because we have two bathrooms. Luxury. Well, as Tracker Tom says, if the spouse is sick, you don't make it all about you. But Morgan is saying, doting, are you kidding? Go to the guest room to sleep.
Well, isn't she just a drink?
I know. It's like, wow, they're completely opposites here. Tom's like, yes, you offer to sleep elsewhere. Look at this. Morgan's like, screw it, save yourself. And Tom is like being, you know, considerate. Wow.
He's a nice trucker.
Well, and Morgan says, Tom, maybe that might be why you don't have a spouse. I want my sleep. That's really great.
They're breaking up.
I know. We're having a lover's quarrel in the chat about what to do when somebody is ill. But I'll get up and leave. And actually, I have to say, Mr. Helix is not exactly Mr. Warm and Fuzzy when I'm ill.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, honey, I'm sorry you're sick. I'll get you some Tylenol or whatever, but...
But walk it off.
But I can't have you breathing on me.
So when the zombie outbreak happens...
Oh, I'm getting locked out of the house.
He's like pushing you into the zombie to save himself.
I'm getting the headshot. He's gonna...
Okay. Because you know what? Normally... Because I do offer to leave.
Yeah.
But I was so fed up, I had to go. Because it's chillier down here. But I'm like, you know, but I don't know what the protocol is. Should the sick person leave? They're the one causing the ruckus. Why should I be punished?
But it depends on where they're more comfortable, is what my
How about outside? How about in a hotel? Why don't you sleep better in a hotel? There's a nice continental breakfast in the morning.
Listen, if
you don't have to be out till 11 a.m.
If I could find some place where somebody would come and wait on me hand and foot because they were paid to do... I would go there when I'm sick.
So you recommend the hotel sickness?
Yeah, but no, but I want somebody to come in and, like, you know, if I ring, I want somebody making me tea the way I like it.
So you're recommending the hotel / prostitute sickness?
No, I don't want to be served in that way when I'm sick. Ew.
No, but they don't have to service you that way.
Oh, okay, so I just... Not, you
get
know,
yourself a cheap skank, hope that she knows how to make tea, and you're out for $20.
No, I want to be in a nice hotel with a home health aide.
A who?
A home health aid.
Isn't that for, like, hospice when you're dying?
Not necessarily. It's for when you're old and sickly and you need somebody to help you.
No, we should get that for you immediately.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, Gladys, you go over there and sit in the corner.
Okay, Gladys.
You go sit in the corner with your magazine, and when I'm hungry, go get me some crackers and tea. Get me some ginger ale from downstairs. Thanks. I'll be here.
Unbelievable.
Could you tuck my feet in? Read me a story. Normal people don't want to do that. If I was rich, I'd pay somebody to take care of me when I'm sick.
So what's the consensus? That, like, I think the healthy person should leave.
Let's see.
Just out of consideration. If you like the person who's sick with you.
I think, see, I don't think that there's one or the other. It's just, you have to defer to the sick person. But you have to get away from them. So if they're staying in bed, go to another room. If they're more comfortable going someplace else, yes, that's an awesome idea. Why don't you go down to the couch?
At least she's considered enough to leave.
Yeah. No, she was. Yeah.
She's a nice sick person.
But they all agreed that you have to get away from the sick person.
There's no escape, because when the wife has it, then the kid has it. They, like, share the same immune system.
Oh, the umbilical cord apparently wasn't cut deep enough, and so they're still...
No, you're right. My wife and kid, they need to be cut.
They do?
They definitely need to be cut.
Too much symbiosis there?
No, I just think they need to be cut to be taught a lesson. Glad you brought that up.
No, I'm not.
We're not saying that?
No.
I'll cut a bitch. And a bitchette.
Well, let's see. Tom says, healthy person, out. Okay.
Yeah.
And Morgan says, I have to agree with Davin on this one. And they do think Mr. Helix has the right idea. Stay the hell away from me when I'm sick.
You're healthy, and I'd like to stay away from you. You with your calcium deposits and your fissures. It ain't a pretty sight over here.
They're not contagious.
We need to get as big as Howard Stern is, so like Robin, which would be you.
Yeah,
doesn't
in
even
the
have
glass
to be.
Booth.
No, not even. They're not even in the same building anymore. Like Robin's phoning it in from home, I think half the time.
Right.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, you know what? That would be okay if I could. If I could do the show in my jammies. I'd be showing up here in my jammies.
That's better than you doing it naked like you are now.
Yeah, I know. That'll be a surprise for Joe. Hey!
Not real. He requested it. Anything else going on?
He must be blind. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, let's see. What time is it going to be? It's not quite 7, but the...
What the hell is timing?
Well, this is why I was... I'm getting there.
All right.
My friend has a new computer at work, so she's all excited because now she's going to be able to get sound and she's going to be able to get on the internet so she can listen to the show while she's at work. And she's probably not listening yet, but I was all excited because she texted me really sweet and said, oh, I have a new computer at work because I work on Tuesday nights and I can listen to the show. That was great. And then I was out with, I have a small group of friends, and one listens when she can. Mm-hmm. This one now could listen. The other two, we're all having dinner, and I'm telling them about some of the things that have gone on the show. Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend, have you ever listened to the show? And she just says, no.
God, no.
No, she just said, no. And I said, I just looked at her, and she goes, well, I don't know how. I don't know how to find it. And I said, I could tell you if you want to.
It is amazing. People do not know how to listen live. People do not know how to listen to replays. Like, I'm constantly offering. We have made this as painless as possible.
We're trying to make it as dummy-proof as possible. But this is the part that kills me. She works for a software company and works with the IT department.
Wow.
And she looked at me and said, I don't know how to find it.
You gave her the website, right?
I said, we're on... No. I said, well, I could tell you if you... I could tell you where to go if you were interested. And she didn't follow through with the next sentence like, oh, okay, tell me where to go. Or I'll write it down or anything. So I took that as the key. I took that as my cue. Stop talking about it because she's clearly not interested in listening. But I'm like, damn, if, you know, my friends do stuff like this, I'd listen.
Would you?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be very good, your friends. Your friends are kind of whiny.
What? You don't really know my friends.
The ones you talk about. I don't really want to know. They're too needy.
No. No.
Are they cool?
Yeah.
Because most of the people I see hanging around you, I don't want to be with them. Gotta be honest.
Yeah, that would be you and Joe.
I don't want to be with us. Yeah. I'm not crazy about
bad company.
I'm not crazy about your choice in friends.
Wait, this is the part that kills me. No, Mr. Helix...
I like Mr. Helix.
Okay, good, good. I do too.
Well, I probably like him a little more than you.
That's what happens when you get married.
Certainly does.
But his childhood friend was out here for the weekend, and we were talking with him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you still doing the radio thing? I said, yeah. And he goes, I listened to your show. It was funny. And
people sound surprised.
No, but I'm like, oh, my God, my good friend, I can't make her listen to the show. And here's Mr. Helix's childhood friend, who we see maybe 3 times a year, if that. And he listens.
You know what?
What is that about?
Listen, we've talked about this before. I mean, if you really want to listen, first of all, if you want to listen to a show, ours is pretty much as easy to listen to as any, because we're all over the place.
I'm thinking.
But we've often talked about this. The thing with internet radio is you have to be very proactive. You have to want to. It's not like something you could do passively in the car. I get that.
You know what? I say to the people who give me that now mm-hmm. at this point, bite me. Well, it's one click. And you can
remember we're not on every day. You know what? Most people do not listen to radio in the evening. Unless you drive for a living or something like that.
Yeah.
Most people listen during the day to radio. Most people, when they come home, they watch it. I get it.
Well,
I think most people listen to our show on replays and the various sources.
But that's what I'm saying
yeah,
is that
I don't
you could
know.
Listen. If you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be screwing around on Facebook anyway, you could open up another window and click on the show and listen. What I mean, unless you're working like a Tandy, computers can usually operate more than one window at a time.
Listen, I know we have some listeners that they want to listen during the day.
Yeah.
But because they're in a work environment.
Right.
they choose not to, which I get. I mean, absolutely. We have cleaned it up quite a bit. But yeah. I mean, we're not completely.
Cock.
Yeah, that's how you open the show.
I know. Well, aren't we supposed to?
Yes.
Yes.
I get it. You know what? What?
I should have said that exactly at 7 while my friend tuned in.
4 more minutes.
Well, now, okay. So when I start spontaneously saying that again at 7 o'clock, that's why.
All right.
Hey, let's do some sponsor stuff.
Let's do some Pip Helix curmudgeonly philosophy. Let me
start. Oh, all right.
All right. We didn't do that last week.
No, I know. But, you skipped me.
But I knew this week we'd be getting to you.
That's okay. I wasn't worried.
You wondered about it. You waited for it. And now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
You know, listening to that clip, listening to Joe do the audio on that clip, I realize he says it like I said it, which was wrong.
Oh, you did?
He says curmudgeon. Like I said, it's curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon.
Joe's as dumb as
curmudgeon?
I. He said curmudgeon. The difference between me and Joe is he puts it in a bumper for us to listen to every week.
I didn't even
It's
hear
like
that
he
part.
Says library.
Really?
He says curmudgeon. But I was saying it wrong, too. You actually educated me.
I had a friend that said breakfast, and it just drove me up a tree.
Because your friend was retarded.
And I'm a cat, so I like to be up the tree. I love firemen coming and getting me out.
Oh, right.
Okay, so.
Hit me with some philosophy.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Even if you're St. Francis, you only have about a 75% chance of keeping your friend's hamster alive until they get home from vacation.
All right, what is does St. Francis bring people back to life?
St. Francis is the patron saint of animals.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm saying that to the Jew. Sorry about the St. Francis reference.
All right, I get that. Yeah, because you know what? It just happened again. We had the big in my house. I have a couple big fish tanks.
Yeah.
Had this African cichlid tank. Had a huge frontosa, whose name was George.
Aw.
Because we got two of them, male and female, was George and Gracie.
Oh, nice.
George kicked the crap out of Gracie within weeks. So Gracie did not.
You meant to call them Punch and Judy.
Yeah, that would have been a better name. But George was like a huge frontosa. Mm-hmm. You've seen some of the fish we have.
Yeah, there's some of them are pretty large.
Yeah, and we had like all sorts of fish in there. We had like 30 yellow labitochromas because they were breeding like crazy.
They're cute.
Yeah, and we went away. This is several years ago. And we went away to Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we knew there were issues with the filter before we left.
Uh-oh.
Came back, like 5 fish alive.
Oh.
Out of like 40 fish.
Oh, my God.
Did not call. Because we would have told her what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't call.
There's always an episode. Before that, the people who used to watch.
Yeah.
One of my cats, I have 2 cats, Maui and Flea. Yeah. If you know, Flea is very traumatized when people come over. Flea was not always that way.
Right.
Years ago, we went to Disney World. Flea, for some reason, got herself locked in our closet.
I know, they do that.
For days! For like 4 days!
And the person didn't know.
Could not find her.
Oh.
Here's it. Finally, she looked for the cat and found the cat.
Yeah.
Here's the amazing thing about the cat. Did not pee or poop anywhere in the closet.
Oh, my God.
What an awesome cat.
Oh, my God. What an awesome vet bill.
No, she's fine. Except she's been traumatized.
Yeah.
Now she's skittish of strangers. Now she's a very skittish cat. This last time.
Poor baby.
See, I
was like, I love animals. I love taking care
tasty.
Of them.
They're tasty.
Let me tell you how many times I've pictured a skittle every time I look at your fish.
My fish are very colorful.
George, butter and lemon sauce. Anyway.
He was big enough.
He was.
I have huge fish.
Yeah, he was like a little fillet.
Do you remember him?
Taunting me.
Do you remember he was like blue and black and in the African tank?
Yeah. Big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these fish are like several hundred dollar fish.
I know, they're very big. But, I mean, are they
I have the A-rods. You know what it is?
The A-rods of the fish world.
They, I just buy them small and they grow up.
Because you take care of your animals.
Yeah, like I got a fish in the other tank that I've had for like over 15 years. And it's
really?
Yeah, I got like fish for a long period of time, and this fish is several hundred dollars. You can't buy this fish in the store because even the little nothings are like $40 or $50. So then you get this fish that's his
gigantor.
He eats well.
Yeah, I guess
his name is Curly.
And did you notice that the smaller fish are disappearing?
No, he's not aggressive like that.
Oh, he's not?
No.
We have one little beta, and we got him because somebody invited us to a party, and they had them as the party favors in these little bowls. Cock, cock, cock.
7:01. You know, a little late, a little tardy.
Sorry. I still got our ID in.
We got the ID in. Yeah, call letter C-O-K. W-C-O-K.
This is, thanks for tuning in to W-C-O-K. Cock Radio.
All cock, all the time. The cock you want to hear and feel.
That's in case my friend
If
Carol
you're not hearing
listening.
Cock radio, then you're doing it wrong.
I didn't say clock radio. I said cock radio.
It's on your lips. It's cock radio.
She's never listening again. That's why my other friend won't listen.
All right. Now back to your lovely story about pets.
Okay. Sorry. It was Storius Interruptus.
Certainly was.
Thanks for pointing to the clock. That was funny.
Sure.
We have a little beta fish. Somebody was using them as
minnows.
Centerpieces.
Oh, yeah, which is a terrible thing to do. An animal should never be ornaments. But yes, I've seen that too.
Yeah, there were these tiny, tiny little bowls with one poor fish and these little rocks
on
the tables.
Here are my rules on ornaments. They should never be on animals. They should never be two things. A, they should never be furniture.
No.
B, they should never be something that you win at a carnival.
Yes.
Those are my rules about living things.
Anything.
Unless they're black people and you're bidding on them.
Oh, I like to bring those home in a bag of water, too, from the carnival.
They don't last very long. They don't pick like they're supposed to.
Lady, help me. Get me out of this bag. And no, I won you fair and square.
And this is why terrestrials are afraid of us, because of things like that.
I have no idea why.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so there were all these little tables, and they were playing this horrible, horrible house DJ music so loud in this tiny room for this graduation party that the little bowls of water were shaking on the table.
Oh, that's not good.
And no, it was insane. So we're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to this fish after all these drunks go home?
They're going to puke.
And so we're like, we're going to save this one and take it home.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, well, so we didn't intend to have a fish, but we've kept him living.
Yeah, now that he's surrounded by cats, what a comfortable living for the fish.
Actually, you know what? He's doing quite well in a little tank that I got just actually down the way from your house. One time I got up here
really
early.
Why didn't you ask me? I would have given you a tank.
No, but it's a little one. It fits perfectly on the shelf in the kitchen.
Here's what I'm thinking you need.
Kitchen. What?
Here's what I'm thinking you need. And I can do this for you for the low, low cost of nothing.
Uh-oh.
You need a 30-gallon tank.
No.
You need a 30.
Do it, not.
It will relax you.
No.
It will relax Mr. Helix. Your calcium deposits will suddenly smooth out on their own.
Only if I dunk my head in
it's
it.
It's cat TV.
That I like.
You need. I can make this happen for you.
No.
Yes, yes, yes.
First of all, number one, if you have a hoard, the last thing you want is a big pail of water to dunk it all in. Number two.
You probably have a 30-gallon tank you're unaware of.
Yeah, we had fish. is that what that is?
Like when they we had kittens. We had rats. I see that.
Uh-oh,
and now we have skeletons.
Oh, wait. Look, there's the people that used to live here before we bought the house.
Mm.
Under the couch. No, the other thing is, the last thing I want to do is have yet another animal area to have to clean.
Mm.
Because when you have 7 cat boxes, and you got all those cat bowls, and you got this little beta
every
fish.
Every cat gets their own box?
That's the theory.
What theory is that?
You know, when you have a multiple cat house, the theory is...
I'd love to have a cat house. The missus frowns upon it. My wife is the ultimate cock blocker.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say that she's no fun at all about that.
She really is not. She's not a team player.
You know, when I brought over all the pimps and hoes and she frowned at me, I thought, what is this?
You're right.
Yeah, I know. We were going to have such a delightful evening.
I'm sure.
With such delightful people.
Sure. They dress well, too.
Hey, crushed velvet is super.
It most certainly is. I'm wearing bonus. Crushed velvet underwear right now.
I hate to think what's crushing it. I know.
The
I know.
The girth of my meaty cock radio.
As soon as it was out of my mouth. Oh, it was out of my mouth for a moment.
Crushed velvet pressing up against your cock radio. What's that in your ear? It's cock radio. And we're coming at you with our crushed velvet. Would you like to see a painting of our cock radio in crushed velvet? Because we got Mexican cock radio. It's the Inferno, the Viernes on cock radio. Telemundo! Gigante!
Gigante Coco Lidio! Sure, why not?
Yeah.
It's a filthy show now.
I know. Well,
you've ruined it.
I know. I started off on the wrong foot, sort of.
It wasn't the foot that was the problem.
Yeah.
I wish it was the foot.
I know. I wish it was the foot. I wish it was a foot.
I certainly do.
Everybody does. You know what? There's something has gone wrong. Either the Dan Penn has frozen, or they are stunned into submission because they have not said anything for about 2 minutes.
Well, I haven't gotten a Facebook post from someone because I know some of the people are in there are Facebook friends.
I know, but I think that they're just terrified now. They're afraid to get involved in the cock discussion.
This is not the show they were hoping for.
This is not the show anyone was.
No, but I agree with the curmudgeonly philosophy.
Thank you.
You know, you do the best you can, but a pet away. Now, here's the weird thing: both times we went away this last time, her cats died.
What?
At one point, she posted a picture, and the face of the cat, which is what she posted, looked like my cat Maui. So, like, me and my wife were having, like, palpitations at first.
Oh, God. You're like, what? Oh, Morgane says, we are just stunned. And Tom says, cock, all the time.
I'm glad Tom said that.
No, K-O-C-K is the call letters.
Yeah.
K-O-C-K.
It's legit that way.
I know. I like that. Yeah, but you'd have to be on the other side of the Mississippi. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, that's how call letters are come up with. On the eastern side of the Mississippi, it's W.
Right.
And on the western side of the Mississippi, it's K.
I had no idea.
That's how they come up
with
that.
I just assumed it was all W.
No.
Wow. So, you know, people say, you know, really, what's the den giving you? Is it really just a bunch of filth and scammers? No, we educate.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Exactly. If you can get past the crushed velvet and cock.
You know, if every once in a while somebody throws out a misspelling of cock, I can explain to you why.
Well, you are my cock go-to person.
You know what? I haven't always been.
You're my cocksman.
I'm usually the cock blocker.
No, if this was the 1800s, you'd be my cocksmith.
Cox.
Sure.
Cox Swain.
Because you're a wordsmith with cock.
Oh, well.
Your favorite bird? Cockatoo.
Cocker three? No, just cockatoo.
If you were a dog owner, it would be a cockapoo. Really? Wow. This is what I'm doing?
I'll tell you what,
Joe hasn't missed a thing.
Well, I know. Degenerated really quickly. There.
Wow.
Oh, and... Hey, Trucker Tom says in Canada, all the call letters start with C. Do they really?
Well, for Canada, because they're...
I guess. But thank you, Tom. I didn't know that. So they only edumacated us about the call letters in America at broadcasting school because they figured you're never going to go north. You're never going to go anywhere.
They are correct.
They were right.
They are right.
Yeah. So there was something else I was going to tell you. It was probably filthy, but it's gone completely out of my mind now.
Huh.
Oh, I hear the dulcet strains of our Joe coming down the stairs.
It's Kong.
Hey.
It's Kong, and he left his puke bucket, and my wife pointed that out.
Yeah, and his radio station would be K-O-N-G, all Kong, all the time.
Yeah. It's funnier with cock. Everything's funnier with cock. Yeah, Joe, you missed a hell of a show. Strap in. We're going to do some comics in the news. Joe's here, everybody.
It's been naughty.
Joe fought the law, and the law did not win this time.
Yeah, oh.
Joe
managed
to speak with impunity and get here late, but...
Oh, you know what? I had somebody at my butt on the same
street. I'm sure you did.
Yes, I did. I had somebody at my butt on the same road that I was on when I got my darn ticket up here. And I was like, I'm doing 40 because I know what it's like up here. And I have given them enough of my money, and so has Joe.
We've all been nailed.
But yes,
I tell you guys, radar detector. But you guys don't listen, so.
Caveman.
That's what my radar detector says.
It says K-Band, but it sounds like caveman.
Joe, nobody can hear you, not on microphone. Yes, but to whose amusement?
Mine.
Joe's still talking and not on mic.
Just
hush up the mouth or go into Pip's microphone. I don't want to
I have to chastise you before you've even been on the air. I don't want anyone in my microphone.
All right. Let's do comics in the news while Joe twists his mic stand.
Yeah, you think that's what he's
Joe,
doing?
Joe, slow it down. You're doing it wrong. You're going to chafe it. You can laugh all you want off mic.
That mic stand was making its O face.
Joe just gave the approval.
Thank you.
Pip, he looks the cocksmith.
Wait, but you missed something. When Joe sat down, he waved when you said, welcome to the show.
Did he?
It was very cute.
Sign language greeting from stupid.
Hi.
And there's the moron you've all come to know and love.
Ta-ta.
How was it getting up here?
Really?
Not bad.
I'm just going to ask.
No, what I want to know is when on the ride home last week, there's Orthodox Jews that wander along the roadside.
Sure. That's how you can hit them better.
Why don't they do something about it? They got to wear vests.
What do you want them to do? Put up a sign, no Jews? A whole country did that,
but
stupid.
They should make them. They should,
then they're just crowding around the trains.
They should make them wear vests or glow sticks.
Make them wear vests. They're human beings. You can't make them wear
exactly the human beings. You don't want to hit them. It's tough to see them.
Maybe you do. They're wearing black.
Maybe they could wear these glow-in-the-dark little stars.
Jew crossing ahead. Slow down. Like you have slow for deaf people, slow for Jews. You just have a guy with a beard and a yarmulke attempting to cross the street.
Glow sticks or something so you could see them.
They're not ravers. They're Jews.
What the
They're raving Jews.
Yes, most Jews will rant and rave, especially if you're not giving them a bargain.
Listen, if you're not slicing it thin, there are going to be some ravens in Delaware County.
They're a whole group of people. You can't dictate how they cross.
But you can dictate their safety.
No, you can't.
But it's dangerous.
No, they are.
Not to you.
It is to me. Because if we were talking about it and we said, you know, there's these Jewish people.
Who were you
people.
Talking about it with?
With Pimple. We came home together.
Because you're a bunch of anti-Semites.
No, that's not why.
But no, exactly. It's
Besides
absolutely
that.
The opposite of that. You're driving. And we pointed at it.
We love Jews.
And we're trying not to kill them.
No, but Pip.
For a change.
Pip goes to me, you know, it's you know, sometimes there's these Orthodox Jewish people that walk along the road. And I go, yes, I've seen them myself. And they came up. And I barely saw them.
They're Hasidic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we've discussed this before on the weekend.
You can't see them.
You can't see them.
During your...
Thanks.
Okay.
I can't see them.
I got a fan.
It's so true.
Yep.
No, you can't. No.
Because they're wearing black.
No, but, see, that's the thing.
There's hats and titses waving all over the place when you run them over.
Did he hold a flashlight or something?
No, it's the Sabbath.
What? Back up a second. Tom says, what do you want, glow-in-the-dark yarmulkes? Yes, I do. At least we can see them.
And but yarmulkes are shaped like flying saucers. So you get one of these people think that we're being invaded. Look at these little aliens. They're midget aliens.
At least you could see them.
They'd be sort of on the back of the head and covered
with a big hat. It's just a dangerous thing.
So it's all Jews that you can't see at night.
Yes, when they're dressed in black on a very dark road,
what day of the week is this happening?
This is a Tuesday. This is Tuesday when we come home from the show.
You know what? Jews are like deer. Cross at your own risk, business.
But even the deers, you could be wearing. Yeah, lighter colors, you know.
Look at that one with the white stripes. She wants to be seen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but as much as I shine my headlights, I thought Jews' eyes don't glow.
Yes.
So I can't see
them. Well, it depends who you ask. Some would say they do.
Deer horns. No.
Sure.
Down that road.
That's how you'd determine how many points there, but the size of the horns on the Jew's head.
Yeah.
Look at the rack on that.
Yeah, right. Or the payas.
You know, payas look lovely on a mantle.
I want everybody to know Davin said that. A Jew.
Self-hating one.
Our Jew said that.
Our Jew said that. Like I'm a piece of property, like I'm a black person. What is wrong with you?
At least you're ours.
I don't believe you bought me at an auction.
Checked your teeth.
Joe, are you sick? You sound like you got a cough.
Yes, I do.
Oh, no.
I'm the one that's sick this week.
Okay, now you missed this part of the
conversation.
We're
not redoing
earlier.
The conversation.
No, you have to go down to the couch.
Yeah, that's what we've established. You're keeping the missus awake. Don't be inconsiderate. Go down to the couch. Actually, she should go down. Healthy person should go down.
I live in a ranch.
You live in a ranch? Yeah, because you're an animal.
I am happy. Very happy.
Why?
I can't.
What happened to our Joe Curry?
Wait, this is so rare.
I am so happy.
Don't we have bumper music for this? It's such
an
event.
No.
Happy.
What? No, we don't.
That damned fat horse challenge is over.
Oh, well, bad.
And I would have lost this weekend because
I
was at the compound for 3 nights eating and drinking. And I gained 6 pounds.
Oh, no.
It's like we surmised.
I feel like a deer at a deer season.
You feel like Jew out of Jew hitting season.
You would have been having dog food treats with onions and fish sauce on top.
Oh, but we surmised that this might happen. Joe said, no, I'm on the road to the street.
Well, here's the deal. I don't take vacations. I don't get to take vacations. So this was like a mini
vacation. Most places won't have you.
That's right. So this is like a mini vacation with me. So basically my deal is this. Yeah, I said no mas with the onions last week. However, I am at about, probably about 20, this morning, I'm about 20 pounds away from being at 200, okay?
Awesome.
If I lose, and I'm not making bets, this is for me personally, if I get down to 200 by December 31st, I'll be very, very happy. That
well,
is
good.
A personal
we hope so.
Goal for me. So
good
there you go.
You.
So there
that
you go.
That would be awesome.
That's the lovely
And how many Jews are you going to kill on the side of the road if you get to your goal?
Hopefully none. You got to wear something.
He's a Jew-loving person.
I just don't want people to get hurt, man.
He knows if he wants to have a real career in entertainment, he better love them Jews.
You're damn right.
Well,
he owns everything.
Except me. I own nothing.
Here's the thing is that, you know, I would see like two guys and they would wear reflective blazers.
Jews?
Yeah,
reflective blazers.
They wear reflective covering.
Can you wear that on Shabbos?
I don't know, but apparently they got a dispensation.
It's a new year coming up. Lashana Tova to all of our Jewish listeners.
That's right. Bash Hashana.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that as a female? There's so many things that females aren't allowed to do.
We prefer you don't talk at all, but it don't stop you.
It's an orthodox show.
I can say.
What's the phrase again? Lashana
Tova. Lashana Tova. It means Happy New Year.
Lashana Tova. Did I do that well?
Yeah, especially with the arm wave that went right into the Hitler salute. That was fantastic.
And this
that
is the one. Nuts. This is the one where you toot the horn there, right?
The shofar?
Yeah.
toot the Jews are suddenly giving blowjobs like all the women the one time a year. It's time to toot the horn.
Well, it's like that old joke.
Time
to blow the shofar.
Hey, that sounded like something we started the show with.
Well, yeah, it's like that old joke. You blow the shofar. No, and I'd rather screw the maid. You know, so. No, this joke in the book.
Well, it sounds like it's from the Bible, so you might be right.
No, but wait, here's my point. Going back to what we were talking about
there's
on the way
point.
Home. There's a little one on the back of my head. Touch it.
Ooh.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Ooh.
Give me your finger.
Ew. 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 Wait.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to get Joe to rub the bump on my head. No. It's a calcium deposit that grows in my head.
Ew, I cut the calcium deposit.
By the way, if we were doing Fat Orange Challenge, that's what you were licking. So you picked the right week to stop.
The way I gained weight past, I would have mauled her scalp.
You would have been making out with the back of her head.
With you with a stupid stopwatch. You got another minute.
You would have been chewing it
swallow.
Out of there. You would have been chewing it out of there so I don't have to have it taken out.
Ew.
Yeah. All right.
You're lucky it's
okay. Anything else, Joe?
The band took some band pitches last week.
We saw. Yeah,
which was the impetus to a very successful Facebook post of mine.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now tell everybody the name of your band.
It's Race Odyssey. We are back.
Now here's what I posted on Facebook, and it got a lot of responses. and Joe's band is guilty as every band photo you ever see, any band photo you ever see, they all need to look like a bunch of badasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've ever been in a fight and go, you know what I need right now? Not nunchucks. Not a knife. I could use a rhythm guitarist. I need a lead guitarist who could give me a guitar solo so I can run away. Because I'll tell you what, those bandmates, they are badasses.
You're right. Now, here's the thing that's the one
you're not even going to address that.
Well, I am.
Well, you just said, yeah, right, like you were dismissing
it. Well, let me explain. Now, a lot of the guys that play in the band don't, they're band, they're musicians.
Yeah.
They're not comics, they're musicians, okay?
Right.
Me, to much of the chagrin, are debatable, I'm a musician and I'm a comic. I also have a co-host.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Nope.
I also have a co-host that's waiting out there to see these.
Oh, Pip isn't that bad.
No. So every pose we were taking, Johnny's like, let's do it this way. I'm like, no, why don't we try it this way? Because I don't want stupid to make fun of it. Because I know he'll see
them. Basically, he doesn't want to admit it. I am his quality control. That's what. Without me, imagine what your life would be.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd be a fat pig taking crappy band pictures. and out another $2,000 for a logo. I say to you, you're welcome.
I might have
you owe me a lot.
In some ways, like I was thinking about, like one of the things about it is when we took all the McClinton pictures, I was like about 30 pounds heavier. So I'm like, I used to look at those pictures and I'm like, what a fat pig.
Oh,
and
disgusting.
Then I said, stop looking at the lead singer.
Yeah. Like, you fat old man, what are you doing? So when we took
now he's a skinnier old
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so right. But when I took the picture, I go, hey, I don't look bad in these pictures.
Yeah.
Which is a result.
He knew him.
Yeah, which is the result of the fat horse challenge and Satan over there with his punishments. So yeah, he's
no, wait, hold on. In my defense, I had help from the fans.
I actually did aid in a bet, and I am sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I, no,
you helped.
Everybody,
no.
Look, everybody wants credit now.
No,
we're Richard Simmons, but we're stressers. That's what we are.
Yes,
no, I'm confessing because it's good for one's soul, and I also don't ever
This isn't your holiday of atonement. This is for the Jews.
Listen, I don't have a holiday of atonement because I don't subscribe to any organized religion.
It's
but
not
I,
a magazine. You don't have to subscribe.
I'm hitchhiking onto yours, and
yeah.
I'm saying I'm sorry I ate and abetted, especially in the dog food, because oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you had to have some of it yourself.
Oh.
So I saw the band photos.
Yeah.
Band photos look good. You're right. The chick looks good.
Yes.
Yeah.
She should be front and center, by the way, not off to the side. Let's focus on her strength, which is her.
Well, she's not going to be doing all the lead singing. Chris,
she should.
I
don't know what she sounds like.
Well, Chris, yeah.
She should.
Believe me.
You know what? I have to say, because I know what the people that we already know look like in person.
Yeah.
And so, it was a great picture of you. I said that on Facebook.
Did you see his hands, though? They were ready to play keyboards.
Oh, I didn't notice
they were,
that.
His fingers were curled on his leg, like a keyboard might pounce on his thigh at any moment. And tonight might be the night his thigh gets out of a keyboard solo, and he wasn't going
to
miss it.
I had to look. I could, you know, because the only other pose was that standard, like, the cross. Bad-ass
arms crossed.
That's why I did that.
Welcome the to only the other, gun show.
Because in that, yeah. Because that other one was that cliche crossed arm pose, and I'm like, I'll just put it on my head. So you know what? All said, I'll have to go. I'm glad I went that way.
No, you're fine.
You were playing.
Good.
You were playing air guitar.
Now we did notice.
I have one.
No, you
and
don't.
And I have an old. It's an.
I'm
and
sorry. The
one,
most embarrassing.
Do not give us keyboard tech talk.
No, but
do not. Just say that you have one. That's bad enough.
No, wait,
we don't need to know the model.
Wait, right. It is the most embarrassing instrument, is it not?
Well, here's the deal. John wants me to play it.
No,
and
that's
told,
his lead singer.
I
stuck
told,
in the 80s.
Yeah, I told John not at gunpoint.
Thank you.
I go. I will not play. I might.
No.
I would play it maybe during a Rot Gut show, but that's like, you know, people. I mean, everything
for
is goofball for a goof.
Yeah,
but a keytar. No, it's.
No, you could play it during Rocket as long as you are wearing a dress. But you are not doing it for real as you
because a dress would make it look better.
No,
yes,
but the thing
would.
Is, a keytar, there's so much, like,
ugh,
stigma around a keytar.
And he's bringing enough of that ugh without the instrument.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Race Odyssey, it's a kind of a straight-ahead band.
Yeah.
So there's that, really, you know. But in Rotgut, people are looking at me. I'm wearing a dress, a hat, you know.
Like, you can be Jon Hammer if you need to
be. Yeah, and wearing that, it's like, oh, what a silly ass, you know.
Yeah.
So I could wear it during that. But
no,
I mean,
with that, it's kind of something that, unless you're playing some kind of, like, folk music or, like, music from the old country, you don't whip out an accordion, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
except,
like,
if you're Weird Al.
Right.
Now, the thing about the keytars, those things, I paid $500 for it in 1985.
Not cheap.
And we went on eBay one day when we were doing a video because we had nothing to do, and we put it up there, $700 on eBay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I would never sell. I never sell any of my keyboards.
All right. Well, let's do a little comics of the news.
Okay. Well, just one more thing. Tom says if you could play it if you're going to do a Hall & Oates reunion show.
And put a little mustache
on. You know what? We didn't need one more thing.
Sorry.
We didn't need that. That added nothing.
I did.
You could have kept that to yourself. You're reading. You could have just done an LOL, and he would have gotten his little pat on the back like he contributed, and I wouldn't have to take this time out to chastise you.
But you want to know something? You took more time to chastise. You could have
of course
moved
I
on,
did.
I was
but,
just going to say
but you could
that.
Have moved on.
You're but
like,
you know why,
you're
Joe?
That, so you
you know what? I'll tell you why.
Okay,
I'll tell you why. Because sometimes we'll just give her a look. And she gets the point. I did not feel a look would get
and
convey the message.
Sometimes I need the newspaper to the nose.
Yes. Sometimes you have to rub the bad dog's nose in the mess they made.
Hold on a second. I have to take one more little break for my friend who's listening for the first time, probably at work. Cock. Okay.
All right. Let's do some comics in the news. maybe. Where is it?
She's
oh, really?
Hate me now.
Why wouldn't she? I'm not
like,
too. Yeah. I'm not too fond of you.
I know you know.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Jeez, Jew is... I'm Jew. Jeff is Walter Cronkite.
Really? You gotta throw the Jews in this just because it's comics?
No, it just came out.
Yes, because you're an anti-Semite.
I meant to say Joe and it came out Jew.
You're an anti-Semite. You know what, Pippi Alex? I've had enough of this from you.
No,
let me play some music that you want to hear.
At the end of the conversation, you
but
forgot
they're all
to
wearing
say hi.
Reflective gear, and that's the way I like it.
No! You know what? You're right. You're right. All the Jews in the ghettos, then they were wearing reflective gear. And unfortunately, Nazis found them. So as a Jew, better to wear the black
but
and blend.
We want to see them,
that's
not to
the
hurt
problem. Well, yeah, right. That's what they all said. No. We're just going to move you with more of your own people. Enjoy this nice train ride. Yeah, that's how it starts. Oh, here, you need a shower. Oh, you have gold teeth? Let me see that. Yeah, exactly. We know how it goes. I'm not trusting you, Goyim.
You know what? On my ride home tonight, I'm going to see this in a whole new light.
Oh, well, you know what?
Well, because the Jews won't be in a whole new light. They're going to be in the shadows.
No, it was like if deer were black and walked stealthily racist on the bitch. Side of the road, because we were talking about them and looking for them, and there was still a pair that he almost iced because they
were... Do you think if deer were black, they would wear their antlers off to the side or backwards? Anyway, let's
have
move on.
On them.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, what do you think they're hiding from? Like, they think a Rommel staff car is coming down the road?
Are we talking about the deer or the Jews?
I wasn't sure either.
Well, depending on what season. I think Rommel liked to go hunting, but...
Jew season, gypsy season, Jew season, gypsy season, Jew season, gypsy season. I said it's Jew season. Fine.
Fine.
Then you shoot him and his yarmulke flips around backwards. And Bugs Bunny recreations. Anyway, we move on.
Right.
Comics in the news.
Yes.
We got a bunch of stories. Let's get to the first one. Dave Chappelle, he's doing a comedy tour, and he was trying to do a show last week in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, there's a bunch of comedians on before them, and people were yelling out stuff.
Yeah,
A lot of it was supportive stuff. A lot of times when you're that famous, people yell out bits or characters or whatnot. Right. Sometimes people are just yelling out incoherent stuff.
I love you, Dave.
Yeah. So Chappelle was contracted to do, I saw some of the clips actually. Chappelle was contracted to do 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the clip, he wanted to do his show.
Yeah.
He told the audience several times exactly what he thought of them, that he said they sucked and everything.
Wow.
And after 30 minutes. He walked off the stage. Now, I can empathize. I've told audiences they suck.
Yeah.
But I do it with a smile so they don't really think that I think they suck. But here's how – I've done this with other comics. We actually did this at Catch a Rising Star. Here's how you can tell a comic – here's how you can tell a comic hates an audience. For all you people listening, if you want to know what a comic really thinks, if a comic really hates you as an audience, he's going to be like, you guys are great. You guys are a lot of fun. The more a comic says how much he likes you, the more he really hates. Because if he's really liking you, he's going to do his show. And he's going to go on tangents that aren't about you. But if a comic just stops and goes, you guys are awesome.
It's just like repetitively stroking.
Yeah, and I actually did that with the other comics on the show. Where I would just say it and look over at them.
Like for a joke. Like, yeah, you're a great audience. What a great looking group of people.
No, I don't say that. I don't say you guys are awesome. Joe, have you ever told an audience they suck?
Yeah. I think when I had that meltdown in Hansel's.
That was a mic.
All right.
A paid gig when you're on the clock.
No, not really. Not really.
Have you ever felt an audience sucks?
Oh God, there were some nights I just want to say screw this, throw the mic down and split.
Do you think Chappelle was wrong?
No.
You know, I think he was right too. You know, he's trying to do his job, mm-hmm. and even if it's supportive, it's hard to do when people are yelling stuff.
We're in a society right now that everybody's on YouTube, everybody tweets, everybody wants to be part of the show.
Right.
Okay, and these guys go to the show and they want to be in it and sit down and shut up and let the man do his job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're not part of the show. You don't need to scream stuff out. You know,
let me interrupt right there.
Right.
Because people were videotaping this. Of course they were.
Of course they were.
And you hear their conversation. And one of the things you hear is like, well, he's a comic. He should expect to get heckled. There is that assumption that a comic is supposed to go with the flow. Usually I do. But it's never our expectation that we need to entertain random drunken things that you, as the audience, might say.
Right.
Yes. And I've heard that a lot of times. Well, you expect to get heckled. No, I don't expect to get heckled. I expect to go up. I expect to get laughs. I expect to work off an audience. I expect the audience to be entertained as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get these people that heckle, oh, I was part of the show. No, you weren't part of the show. You're part of the problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
And why? Because you're on YouTube and you get your own little YouTube video and you tweet cute things to your friends. You think you can go to a comedy show? I did. There was a comedy show that was at, they had a local bar.
Yeah.
Local bar. And they had a couple of island comics there. I wasn't in comedy. I was there with Anthony and Adam. The three of
Anthony
us.
Anthony Cumia, Adam Ferrara.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to remember, not everybody knows your famous friends.
Well, I don't feel like I'm name dropping, but anyway.
But you are. All right. You could have just said my friends.
All right. But I was there. Well, it's part of the story. So
then drop.
Anthony Cumia, Adam Ferrara, and myself were there. And there were these comics that were doing a bar show.
Right.
And we were, and because we kind of knew we were funny, we were goofing on them and back and forth.
We kind of knew we were funny. We had entertained ourselves quite a bit.
Yes.
We knew we had good stuff.
Well, two of them went on to greatness. The other one, not so much. But anyway.
What are you going
to
do?
So,
at least he's not hitting Jews randomly.
That's true. So we were goofing on them and stuff like that.
Because you're a dick.
So, right. Now, excuse me. Later on, about maybe 7 years later, I actually worked with one of the guys
Oh, really?
at that show. And I was with him, and I apologized. I go, you guys did a bar show where we were in the audience and we hassled you. And I go, I'm 7 years in. And I go, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now that I'm the guy, I go, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, here, you there's know? This unreal.
Did they take it, though?
Yeah, he said,
there's
yeah.
this unreal expectation that the audience and people you work for have. Nice miss. This is a Pip Hilich is just throwing trash around my place.
This it's is not your car.
Nice. There's this unreal expectation.
Good. The ball's rolling good there, Joe.
That comics are supposed to have a great night every night. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have, like, they, like, oh, we get this as live, but we can never have an off night. You see a sporting event,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes you take an offer.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if you're a singer, you know, you have a bad show, although we've seen that go all over the place on YouTube, too. Whitney Houston, before she passed away, she was getting horrible reviews.
You have a bad night, you know, your throat gives out, or you forget the words or something.
Well,
I mean,
forgetting the words.
No, you can forget the words in the middle of a song. Everybody
should
know,
well, that
like
song
it.
Should not be the national anthem.
Yeah, you know what? Not an easy song to sing.
I know, you sang it very well in this
And
show.
That's the thing with Thank live you. Performance. I mean, there are some nights that, you know, I'm, you know, a long day or something like that, I'm not in tune to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There are some nights where I'm go out and I go, well, I'm going to do me some stand up and you get it, you know, you're really into it. Also with a band, there are some nights with any band, there are some nights with the band that the band can't get out of their own way.
Yep.
And there are nights with the band where you can't touch
I remember
us.
What we call right. that band.
But there are some nights with the band, any band I've been in, there are some nights with the band you can't touch us.
I think we found the common denominator.
So it's, you know, it's a natural thing with human beings, right? So like you do a show, there are nights that you're into it, you're on. There are some nights that maybe you're just a little off your game.
Mm-hmm.
And
to the
people
you listening right now, I'm sorry, we're all walking away from the mics. We apologize for this performance. We are off of our game.
Yeah.
We're not dropping the mic in a good way. We're
no.
just
yeah.
out
no.
of here.
I don't think I've ever really left stage early. I am the reverse of that. If I hate an audience,
mm-hmm.
I will stay on longer and punish them.
I know.
Which is not the right move.
No, and you're just like, okay, people. And
yeah, then I will say jokes that will offend them and are so wrong, and I'll just be passively aggressive with
you, like,
them.
Oh, believe me, I've done shows with him, and I'll be sitting there going, boy, he's on the warpath.
Thank God I'm not next.
But
he's on the warpath with him now.
Yeah.
But I know the opposite. I'm like, I know I have to do a certain amount of time.
Right.
I've been tempted to walk off stage early. I've been asked once or twice to leave stage early.
But those are for very specific, bizarre reasons.
Yeah, they're hating me. What'd you say?
Good ones.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, listen, they're, Joe was at one of them.
You were not wearing your reflective gear.
Joe was at one of those gigs where I was asked to be removed from the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
and this request
came
from his wife.
It wasn't my fault, though.
No, it was a stupid scenario for a show.
Yeah. We were doing a high school reunion in Pennsylvania in a firehouse.
Yeah.
And there was all coffee being served, no booze.
Okay, good.
We did not know this going in. But I was told what a bunch of hellraisers they were.
Oh.
And what fun they were.
Oh, boy.
What a bunch of party animals they were.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, cool, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Joe goes up there, does an okay job.
Yeah.
He didn't set the stage on fire, but he certainly did a passable job.
Yeah.
I went on stage. I did not. I asked one. I'm trying to get this conversation going with them. And I asked one of them, I go, well, were you cool in high school? That's a pretty innocuous statement 30 years later.
Absolutely.
Somebody goes, you're being mean.
What?
I'm like, oh, well, before that, the intro was, oh, well, we don't know who these guys are. They're not here yet. We were supposed to get these other people, but they couldn't show up. But I guess we got these guys, and we don't know where they are. And I'm like, we're in the back of the room.
Oh.
That was the intro.
What this agency does is they're notorious for booking. They'll have the client book an act.
Right.
And they'll set up everything for that. That act
bait and
ain't
switch.
Never coming. And they'll call up, and Davin even told me this. He goes, what they do is they bait and switch them, and the night before
the
next
switch,
night,
never
the
bait.
The next night, the next night, they'll call and say, oh, the guy was in a horrible accident or something like that. You'll see. The woman
I'll show you
up,
a horrible accident. Wait till I hit the stage.
This train wreck, here it comes.
Not 5 minutes later, the woman comes, how's so-and-so doing? Is he okay? And I got to bite my lip. Cause so
oh,
they had no clue that it was us.
They had no clue it was us. They misrepresented about what a bunch of fun people they were.
Oh.
So they're like, "You're being mean." I'm like, "I'm really not being mean. I'm just asking you a question." And then I got the hook.
It's like, "Are you familiar with the concept of a comedy
but
show?"
But that's not mean. We've all seen me be mean on stage.
No. No.
I can be quite the ornery one.
I've seen you be mean at the stage.
Joe, was I being mean?
No. And to answer your question, Pip, you said, "Do people understand the concept of a comedy show?"
Yeah.
At a comedy show, yeah. But you get put with this one agency, you get put in these situations where I don't think these people knew there was going to be comedy. If they did, they didn't kind of know what a kind of comedy was going to be. So you're forced into this situation where it's just a lose-lose proposition. However, you need the money. You took the gig. You go up there and you figure it out the best of your ability.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know.
I'm just picturing, like, you're getting booked at, like, a pool party, you know, and kids are splashing in the water. Yay!
No, I've done that. I've done that gig. And I've pulled.
Screaming over the water, splashing.
More or less. And I've pulled that off. Because I'm usually the guy that pulls these gigs off.
Yeah.
But I was just like, so that was the. That wasn't the first time I was asked to leave the stage early. The only time I could think about that, I used to play this club down in Columbia, South Carolina. It was a week-long club. And what they would do is they would have regular weeks, and then they would have black weeks.
What?
Yeah, where they just catered to black people.
Okay.
And for some reason, they put me on the black week. And I was doing fine.
Yeah.
And for most of the week.
Right.
But there was a couple of shows, not so. Like, one show, like, 10 minutes in, they were just hating me. And
were
like,
they expecting to have only black comedians, too?
Well, they had a Latino, and they liked him.
But that's the agency's fault, and nothing against you. If they're having a black week, you're not conducive to that crowd.
Well, they
so
even admitted that they threw me to the wolves, but I said to one heckler, I go, "You know what? I'd throw a book at you, but you wouldn't know what to do with it."
Oh, nice! Nice!
Yeah, this is also when I was doing the niggas bit.
Oh, no.
Which, but this is also the same club where I fire tested it. And I proved to myself that I could do it because most nights the black people loved the joke.
Right.
There was those nights like this one where they did not. So I was...
Oh, dear.
And they're waving me to get off stage in the back of the room about 10 minutes in. Now, also, I should say, also, the MC before me is motherfucker this, motherfucker that, completely like...
But they love that.
Yes, they do. I, not so much. Because I'm not that type of comic. But he's all motherfuckering them up.
Was he a white guy or a black guy?
He was a white guy. And then he would bring, I think he was a white guy. And then he would bring me, maybe he was a black guy. It doesn't matter. If it's the same guy I was, he'd bring me up like, he was like completely hacking. He'd like give me like false intros like he was going to bring me up and then not bring me up.
Oh, no.
And then like bring me up after a fart joke.
This is what you deal with on the road. This is a road gig. A road gig.
So the back of the room, they're giving me the light.
Yeah.
And I'm Andy Pettit looking into my rookie catcher, Austin Romine, and I'm shaking him off. I'm not throwing the curveball.
No.
I'm staying up on this mound. Get back in the dugout, Joe Girardi.
You see the club owner come up, talk with you on the mound, and was just hanging out. All right.
little pat on the rear.
Yeah. You'll back up to the mic.
Like, no, I'm not walking him. I'm not deliberately walking him. Sorry.
Exactly. There was about 9 shows that week. 7 of them were very good. Not so much.
It's that one show.
But here's the thing. Here's the weird thing. I was featuring at the time. After that, I got moved up to headliner.
That's the least they could do.
Yeah.
Throw you away.
Way he sucked. Yeah. But they admit,
not like you sucked. It's the situation you were put in. I mean, come on. Sometimes there is audiences that are just not yours.
I call that the weekends.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think Chappelle did what he had to do. He had a contract. He had to fulfill the contract. In his mind, the audience was not living up to their end of the bargain.
I understand what you're saying with that. I mean, because it is totally obnoxious. But don't you think that there is a certain expectation that, a professional of his caliber should be able to turn them around?
That is the expectation.
It's not fair.
We are not crowd controllers.
No, I know.
Not have a billy gun and peppers.
But
a billy gun. A billy stick. A
billy club.
A billy. That's what the club I'm looking for.
That's the club. That's the club he was playing.
See all these clubs. They're not the right billy stick. Billy club. All right.
But we don't have pepper spray. We don't have the reflectors the Jews should be wearing when they're walking the street. We're one man with a microphone. And a lot of times, like a club will like offer to remove an audience member during the show.
Yeah.
And I'll wave. And you've seen me wave them off like, no.
I can handle this.
They're fine. Yeah. I mean, he's playing a theater, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so everybody's in a tough spot. And Dave Chappelle even said, listen, I want to do a show.
Yeah.
So I don't fault Chappelle. As a performer, I've been there before. As an audience member, you know what? Listen, the people that paid to see the show, they kind of got screwed.
Oh, they did.
But there's only so much Chappelle can do.
You want to know something? Yeah. The people that wanted to see a show and got screwed should complain to the management.
Why don't you?
Why don't you police your room?
Yes.
Not to the performer.
Right.
The performer's trying. The performer's trying to do his job, and he's being hindered by noisy and disruptive audience members.
Yeah, that's true. And when you get to a certain level, you have to expect that you're going to be booked into a place, and you don't have to be harassed.
Let's say you go to a movie, and people are making noise and stuff during the movie. You don't write Warner Brothers a nasty letter saying that I didn't enjoy the movie. You yell. You talk to the theater management and say you got to control this joint.
Well, no, I blame you. You don't go see a movie in a black neighborhood if you want peace and quiet.
Well, but that's where you got to that's where you got to pick and choose your battles. I mean, a black theater.
Yeah, they're gonna talk.
They're gonna talk. You can't turn around and go, shut up, man.
Sean Connery can hear you.
It's a gospel revival in those theaters. Yeah. Amen.
You know if you're going to see Martin Lawrence, it's going to be a two-way dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
All right. Now, Dave Chappelle, in this scenario, had the option to walk off.
Right.
There is another scenario where, as a performer, you cannot walk off the stage.
This is incredible.
What was the airline? I don't remember the airline. Was it Virgin?
No, there was an airline,
and they just did it for the festival that they're going over to Scotland, the big festival.
Yeah.
Well, they were booking comedians to perform on an airplane, unbeknownst to the passengers.
They don't have any clue that this is going to be happening at them while they're trying to be on the
flight. Well, that's the right description. At them.
At them.
As a passenger, you like comedy.
Yeah.
Would you want this?
No.
No. Absolutely not. No. And there were shows, and I've done shows.
Uh-huh.
I've done shows where they don't tell people that there's going to be comedy that night.
Right.
And people are like mortified, and I'm like, did you tell people they're going to show? No, we just set it up. I go, I'm going to go up, and I'm going to do 3 minutes, and I've done that because me personally, I feel as somebody that was planning on just having a nice dinner out, I would be pissed off, and happened twice, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Because I would be so incensed that I would,
It's ambush comedy.
Oh, yeah. I would be really annoyed.
Yeah.
Really annoyed. You're going out with your friends and you have an expectation you're going to have dinner, you're going to talk amongst yourselves, and all of a sudden this person starts like doing comedy at you. It's like, no.
It's almost the scenario.
Comedy is best enjoyed with a warning.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it's almost that scenario where that we were speaking about that Canadian comic that made those comments.
At the bar. Christine Walken.
Right. Now, basically my thing during that whole discussion was this a planned show or was it not? If this couple that was there was planning just having a night of hanging out.
Oh, this is a different comic. The comic that got sued because he got in a fight.
This is one that we were goofing on the girl that they were lesbian or something like that.
Yeah, this is the one that got in a fight with the heckler. Yeah.
That's correct. That one. Now, if that was something where they just decided to have the mic and they had no clue there was going to be a show like this, that's mortifying.
Yeah, it is.
And it's also mortifying if you're on a flight and now you've got comics on there.
And you know how people walk into a comedy club and they look, they kind of like titter and they look shy and they definitely try to sit as far away from the stage as possible because they know, oh no, they're going to pick on me. And some people want to be part of the show and be picked on and they want to laugh their ass off at their own expense. Some people really legitimately do not want attention called to them.
I'm that way. When I went on a cruise years ago and we went to the comedy show.
Yeah.
And we're at the back of the theater. I go, let's sit here. And my wife's like, why are we sitting so far back? I go, I don't want the comic to goof on me. And she goes, you're a comic. I go, yeah, but I go, I don't want to be goofed on. And I go, plus if I know the guy.
Right.
And I met the guy later and he knows a lot of the guys I run with. Uh-huh. But I didn't want the guy to goof on me, And I'm a comic.
I know.
It's just weird, So I'm the kind of guy, I just want to sit in the back. I'm low key. I want to be in the back. I don't want anybody screwing around me. It's my night off,
Yeah, well, it is. It's like, what is this, a busman's holiday? I'm going to have to deal with comedians
And the thing is, if the guy does goof on me, then I got to, as another comic who doesn't want everybody to know my comic, now I got to fire something back.
Yeah.
And then what if that doesn't go and I don't, it's like, just put me in the back.
No, you're right. You're right. You should sit in the back. You're right. No, he's right. He's right.
It's
professionalism.
It's like, you don't want to be involved in it and you don't want to be taking anything away.
Yeah, because
from
now
what
if he nails me, now is another comic, but he doesn't know my comic, now I got to nail him back and try to get the big life. It's my night off. I want to drink and hang out.
Plus, that's not really your strength.
No, it's not. I gotta let you go.
So we don't think this is going to catch on to other destinations.
Well, I didn't get to the worst part of that point, though, is that when you go into a club, if you are aware that there's comedy and you're one of those people that wants to sit in the back like Joe, I don't know where they're setting up this comedian in a long tube of people strapped into chairs, that are assigned to them, and they can't go and hide from you anywhere?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think it was in conjunction with the Edinburgh Comedy Festival.
Yes, you're correct.
So, what they did was, for that week, they had the comics that were flying into the show doing it. Now, if they made an announcement before the flight took off, or maybe when the at the boarding at the gate or something like that, you know, that they were doing that, you know, that's one thing. But if they
if they're doing it at the gate, it's a little late.
I guess
it is
a little late. Now you got kids.
Yeah, I know. But at least now you know what's happening. When this person, I'm sorry, but this person gets up and with a microphone starts talking to you on a plane, you're like ready to, let's roll, and you're going to take him down.
Let's roll.
Rushing the comic.
I'm pulling out my hidden box cutter, and I'm taking him out.
You can see Al-Qaeda terrorists start running up and go, thank God.
This plane is going to crash its own.
God.
What a hack. I was going to blow it up just because he was bombing. He was really
bombing.
Now some
good news.
This is your comic speaking. Two Jews walked into a bar. If you look over to the left, you'll see the parents not happy with this night. Yeah. And if you look over to your right, you'll see a stewardess who I hope to bang after the show.
right, just out of force of habit, they're trying to pick up the stewardesses and the waitresses.
Now, can you imagine?
Remember to tip your stewardess.
Yeah, remember to tip your stewardess.
Can you imagine you're online for security and you're behind the prop comic trying to board this plane? He's got to go through all his cases.
He's got arms and legs.
Yeah,
he's
trying to explain. No, it's not a real saw. It's not a real gun.
That's not a real penis.
Flying with the
Why do you have six dildos? There's a convention.
Flying with the amazing wid, the plane doesn't take off for 9 hours because he's got to get all his stuff through.
I mean, yeah, you can't get all that on board.
Yeah. Al-Qaeda version of Carrot Top. Oh, my God.
Razors, knives, sporks, box
tasers.
Would you do the gig, Joe?
No.
What's the amount of money that would get you to do the gig?
Here's the deal.
Because you said no, and then I said,
how much?
Well, here's the deal. I assume that the comic, they had the comics that were flying into the festival.
Yes.
I'm assuming that they probably picked up the money for the flight.
I'm thinking.
All right, so
you can't make the comic pay for the flight that he's entertaining.
It's like
you know how this business works, dude.
Flight.
Who knows? But if it was
all right, here's the deal, man. You get $200, but you got to book your own airfare. Look at Joe's like, well, I take it. I got to get there anyway.
I'm not. It's like, okay.
We'll put you on the bus, but you have to do color commentary on the ride into the city.
You know what though? If the people knew it was gonna happen,
but they didn't.
They didn't. Well, that depends how much the flight is. I mean, if the flight is like a grand.
And you're going to get to sit in first class with all that leg room?
No, they're not going to put you in first class.
No,
you go with the luggage.
You're going to be by the back of the plane. How?
Can I get the meal? Yes, that'll be $6.
But this is never going to happen in the first place. So I'm just going pie in the sky. If they're going to put you in first class, and you get a nice warm
towel. It could happen. It could happen. I got offered on a couple of occasions to meet up with a bus and do a show for a bunch of people on the way down to Atlantic City.
I heard about a bunch of guys
on
did
the
that.
Bus?
On
yeah,
the bus.
I got
bus.
To hang out down. I had to hang out down there for the day.
You did that?
No, I did not.
Oh no, I'm not being facetious because I'm not being facetious because I was going to bring that up because there was and what with that? What about 12 years ago? This was a bunch of our guys.
Right.
Did it?
Wasn't that long ago for me?
Oh,
no,
wow.
I won't take certain gigs. I told you guys there
that
was
sounds the, like hell.
There
it would have been hell.
There was the show with our pal Johnny Watson. Johnny Watson did the show. I got offered by the same agency Joe was talking about before, and the same Atlantic City agency. So I want to take a cruise like around New York City for like Born Again Christians. I said, "How much is it?" And they told me the amount. I go, "No."
Yeah.
I go, "It's not worth it for me to do that." So I suggested. My pal Johnny Watson.
Uh-oh.
So Johnny took the gig, and he's doing the gig, and he thought a woman was heckling him.
Oh.
But she wasn't heckling him.
She's speaking in tongues.
She was speaking in tongues.
I was going for the joke.
No.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
I thought it was a joke.
I was going for
That's
the joke.
What happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so Johnny's going back and forth with this woman who just is speaking in tongues. He did not get a good review.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. That is one of the best gig stories I've ever heard.
Not if you're stuck on that boat with those born agains.
Yeah, well, here at the studio, it's funny, but
and of course, they were all black, and he was white, which makes it a little bit more difficult. Because now you're stuck on this boat, you got to hang out with these people who hate you. Listen, I am fully prepared for people to hate me, as you know.
But there's an escape room.
That's right. Yes, Joe. Wow, you're like a psychic. You're like
no,
psychic
I'm a
Cindy.
No, I've been doing this for 17 years.
Honey, start the car. No, I know.
I think for me, the amount to do this plane gig. Ugh. Is several thousand dollars.
Yeah, we have to be.
Yeah, because I know. Because if you hit turbulence, you got to stand up there. But, Mr. Comic, we're going to need you to sit down. Should you keep working? Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So what's what would airfare be on the air? What, about 1,200 or something like that?
I don't know, but you're trying to do your act, and there's a line for the
toilet.
Well,
sometimes you put a price
because
on
of
that.
Your act.
Yes.
Right, because if you're going to the festival, the festival's not going to pick up your expenses. You're going to the festival, try to get... So your airfare is a big
nut. Well, if you're
a
feature performer, you might.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But however, your airfare, you know, even maybe most guys, your airfare is the biggest nut.
But I just joked about it. As a comic, where do you even stand? I mean, because if you're standing in first class now, you're a snob. The people in second class can't, and coach can't.
I'm kidding.
You're bringing wireless.
About that, yeah.
You walk up and down the aisle.
We're at the crowd.
Yeah. Now everybody's staring at your butt when you walk down to the back. You want to hang out with the captain. Does the captain get to hear the joke? Maybe you do it from the cockpit.
No, he wants to. No.
There's no good place to stand because now that
because it's an airplane.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't designed for fun. It was designed for flight.
It's a long tube.
And now where are you supposed to go when they're coming through with the drink service?
Yeah,
they have that little cart.
Hey,
push people out of the way.
Hey, who is here from out of town? You're all out of town. You're on a plane, stupid.
That's funny. As a matter of fact, we're doing a gig. We have to flip who gets that line.
I mean, do you joke about the flight food? You can't now. They're serving it.
No, I don't think you can. I think in the story, I don't have it with me, unfortunately, but I think you can't goof on the food or the plane. Or
you
the
can't talk
or
about
like
plane
that.
Crashes too soon?
No,
here's the question that's most pertinent. Here's the question that's most pertinent to me.
No.
And Joe knows this about me.
This is
the deciding factor whether I'm taking the gig.
Okay.
Joe probably saw this coming a mile away. Where do I set up the merch table? The plane is not set up. Is it going to drop air mass?
No, what you do is when you leave the plane, you say good day to the pilot, where the pilot stands by the door.
I'm nudging the right stewardess out of the way.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Cinco de caca shots.
Right.
Bye-bye.
As soon as you go right
DVD,
there,
CD.
Right outside the jetway, we say, thank you, Captain. Have a great day. Thank you, stewardess.
So do I ask the stewardess to set up a table for me while they're landing?
Why not? Or have the gate crew do that when they bring up the gate thing.
I got to work that into my contract.
In that little tube.
Yeah.
Look, they're all walking.
At the gangway. Yes, out the gangway.
Yeah, I just don't think it works.
No, I don't think so. I think you just put it on the little cart that they put all the beverages on. You have T-shirts and shots. There was coffee, tea, Cinco de Caca shot.
Yeah.
This T-shirt.
All right, so we have figured out a workaround.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking.
No, all right. Now he's trying to figure out how to get the gig.
Who says I'm not? All right. Now. We all agree a plane is a horrible gig for a comic.
Yes.
There is one tougher gig for a comic. The ultimate tough gig. If you were a comedian in North Korea. True story.
Just a comedian in North Korea.
That's the line.
Where there's a place where there's no humor at all.
So there's this comedian who actually performed for King John Il in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She was performing for a group of people, a large group of people. She's been around a long time, and at some point, she touched on some quote unquote sensitive issues.
No.
And she was not allowed to finish the set, much like me at a reunion. She was she was quickly whisked away to a coal mine where she would do 6 months of labor. That's a bad gig.
Boy, I'd rather be banned for 6 months.
That is hell gig.
And this isn't the first time it's happened to her.
No, I know. That happened to her before, and she actually came and tried to perform again.
I was stunned there was comedians in North Korea. They don't even have electricity. I guess every set's acoustic.
I guess.
They can afford humor. But, you know, I mean, that... What a horrible thing. It's like, I want to say something funny, but I don't want 6 months of hard labor.
Now, Joe, you're dedicated to the craft of comedy.
Yes. I'm not dedicated to coal mining.
It begs the question, would you be a comedian in North Korea?
I'd give it a shot.
I wouldn't. No way. Not if I know, instead of a banning, I'm doing hard labor. No!
Tell your act.
You know what? Dick jokes aren't that important to me.
listen, there are a lot of things that have been said about the size or lack thereof for Asian men's
coal mining utensils.
Yeah, well, you're going
to send you to a coal mine.
You are definitely going to the coal mine.
They have
to go
no tolerance over there.
But here's the reason: they sent them for "quote unquote" sensitive issues. What, you know? How do I don't see how comedy can survive if we're talking about "quote unquote" sensitive issues.
Yeah, there's no.
Is that what you're supposed?
That's
to
this
touch
show.
On? That's yeah. You know what?
Well, some people are hoping we join Rodman on the next trip to North Korea.
But here's the basic thing I think about comedy. Basically, what comedy is pulling the curtains away of bullshit and hypocrisy.
Yeah, but that curtain can't be the Iron Curtain.
I know, that's true. But no matter what happens, somebody had to hang the curtain, so somebody's always going to get pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
She's the edgy one.
I know.
With the strong arms, because she's been swinging a pickaxe for 6 months.
Wouldn't you just...
She's been working out for her comeback again.
Well, you're in shape. But hey,
down.
You look good. You've been in shape. Yeah,
nah, hell gig didn't work out.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I think it says a lot about a regime. No, it does. Hear me out on this.
Okay. Hear you out like I'm going to argue?
No.
You've been known to argue with me before when I thought there was nothing to argue about.
I think it was totally reasonable reaction.
But I think it says a lot about the regime when a joke can land you in a coal mine. First of all, coal is a fossil fuel. It's just dirty. If it's a dirty fuel, why can't you do dirty jokes? It just makes sense. But yeah, I don't think... I think when the repercussions are that stiff, as opposed to, you'll never work this gig again. Well, I didn't want to work that bingo hole anyway. And so you're going to land in a coal mine? I think it says, you know what? You need to lighten up.
You really, you know...
You will be working in a coal mine and mining coal from now on. You will not work this coal mine again. I will tell you something. I think you work coal mines for other people. I do not like when you work. I do not like. I was the one who booked King John Il and his father King John Yich.
I was invited.
Well, you know when you get the booking for the kooky fascist club, do you think that it's going to be a good gig? You know?
But I'll give it to this comedian. She must love comedy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what. I'm not doing a week in a coal mine just to make you idiots laugh. I don't care. You're not that important to me. I'm giving it to you straight.
Let me tell you something. At the diner at Gripe Session, she wins hands down every time. You know, and I got gypped on the money here. I got, well, you know, this guy told me it was all going to be a full week and it was free. I got put in a coal mine. Shut up and pass the cream.
You know what people...
That's true.
You know what people...
You win.
Yeah.
Our fans in West Virginia who are listening to this going right now going... I could go to North Korea, and besides being a minor, I could be a comedian. Yeah. Let's go. I got it covered.
Hold on a second. That's second shift where I come from. That pays double time.
Yeah, not only did I kind of get laughs, I got highest production in the mine.
All right.
I got overtime.
So I think North Korea is the worst place to go. Let's take our break
it
now.
It is.
We're going to play some stuff from Colonel Abrams. Colonel Abrams, he's a musician. You guys are going to listen to that. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. We'll do our scam busters, tell you about a new scam, and I promise you, I got some new developments in our jungle love.
And
scamming.
He's not even talking about in his bra.
What?
Developing. Ugh. Yeah.
See, sometimes show you just give the look.
Sometimes I get the newspaper to the nose.
No, well, why aren't you playing? Could you play already? Here we go.
Could you play?
Play, stupid.
Si vous plaît.
Here we go.
Put it in the coal mine.
All right, we'll see you in 10. We'll
see
be back.
See you in 10.
You'll listen to Davinson.